Hasn't the music today already been glorious? Just sort of put you in the Christmas spirit. Speaking of Christmas spirit, do you have an Advent calendar? Anybody have an Advent calendar? Once upon a time, Advent calendars were hard to find. Now they are everywhere. You've seen them, Advent calendars for dogs. Advent calendars for wine lovers, Advent calendars for chocolate lovers, Advent calendars for fishers, for golfers, slime Advent calendars. I did an internet search for Advent calendars last week and got more than 1.5 million hits, different kinds of Advent calendars. You name it, and there is an Advent calendar to fit your need. Except everyone I looked at does not begin on the first Sunday of Advent. They all begin on December the 1st. This year that's sort of close. December 1st is tomorrow. But Advent can begin a few days before December 1st or a few days after December 1st. It seems that cultural Advent has become part of the cultural Christmas scheme of buying stuff. It's different in the church. We begin today not with stuff, but with hope. The hope of the coming Messiah. The hope of Christ's final and ultimate of victory, of creation made new. This Advent will be continuing a journey that we began this past summer. You remember this guy? Yeah, he's still here. He's still around. So during the next 4 weeks of Advent, we will be making a journey to Bethlehem. And the journey begins in Rome. Hear these words from Luke's Gospel, 2nd chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is probably the shortest gospel lesson that you will ever hear read in church. That's because we usually skip over this part. This is the part we just sort of have to read till we can get to the good part with the angels and the shepherds and the pondering. The pondering is my favorite part. But it's critical. This part is critical to everything that comes after, not just in this story, but to our understanding of who God is and how God is at work in the world. It tells us about the before and everything. Everything else is the after. A number of you have been to that part of the world. I remember being on the bus going to Bethlehem. The expectation I think I held in my heart, maybe not in my head, but at least in my heart, was of that still little town of the Christmas carol, of stables and shepherds and starlit nights. The reality was of warning signs and security checkpoints, of armed soldiers boarding the bus, and directions from our tour leaders not to look up and under no circumstances to take any photos. Politics, you see. And I wonder if that's not more like Bethlehem on that first Christmas so long ago than that image I carried around with me for so many years. Certainly, soldiers would have been present. A Roman census had been mandated. People had to return to their ancestral homes to be registered. Bethlehem would have been overcrowded. And travelers would have been in moods similar to, well, trying to find a parking space on Black Friday. Not even the soldiers were there by choice. Everyone, except the locals, were there by decree. A census was usually taken to raise taxes. Tax revenues were often used by a leader who was considering some sort of military campaign. Resentment, fear, weariness. This was most likely the mood of Bethlehem on that first Christmas day. These are the circumstances into which Jesus was born. No available rooms meant that Jesus was born in a stable, and had it not been for that decree from Caesar Augustus, thousands of miles away, things would have been very different. Christmas, as we know it, in a way, began in Rome. Rome is that place where decisions that impact your life and my life are beyond our control. Decisions are made that have an impact on our quality of life. Rome is that place where the stroke of a pen can have a ripple effect so many miles away. Rome reminds us of the reality of the people of Israel in that day. They lived under occupying forces beyond their control, and they longed for more. I think if hope is the word for the first Sunday of Advent, longing comes in a very close second. They longed for freedom. They longed for justice. They longed for peace. But changing the way things were seemed impossible. All they could do was hope for something better. This is where Advent begins. The way to Christmas starts in the rooms of our lives. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he captured that feeling. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. Ah, today we've been all the way from the hope and longing of Isaiah to the promise of something new and something better written by Paul years later. And us, we, are somewhere between the already and the not yet. We live in this world as we know it, but we long for a world that is better. We know we can't make this kind of world by our own willpower. We need help. We need God. And so God came. God came at perhaps the worst possible time, in the worst of conditions, into the chaos and the confusion of our world. Jesus was born. When it seemed like all hope was lost, hope was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. We long for peace. We long for unity. We long for compassion among people and an end to violence and division. Christ meets us in our hopes and in our fears, which are always bound together. He meets us in those places where we feel most helpless. He meets us when we get so weary of the world the way that it is that we just want to crawl under the covers and pull them up over our heads. He meets us in our deepest longings, but not always in the ways that we expect. Sometimes we have to go looking. Sometimes we have to seek, even if we don't think we're going to find anything, because when we do, we open ourselves to the possibility that God will show up, and of God telling us, I am here. I am at work in you and in the world. There is reason to hope. So as we begin this Advent season, what are you longing for? What are you hoping for? When you think about God coming to us in the flesh, what is your Advent hope? This Advent, I am hopeful. I'm hopeful that even though they say no, there's always a chance of snow. I'm hopeful that Christ is continually being born in our midst, reminding us that God is with us. I'm hopeful enough that I want to prepare my life. I want to prepare my heart again. I'm hopeful enough that I want to make sure that I am going in God's direction and not trying to drag God in my direction. And I'm hopeful enough that instead of just sitting around and waiting passively, I'm going to wait actively, working to carry out the good news right now, right here, in this place, in this time, because that's the only thing that's been given to me, because my hope is built on faith and in God's promises, which never disappoint us. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.